Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at PureRockFury. And we're here with Damien. You can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. Chris is being a good little son today, and he's out to dinner with his parents for their anniversary. He will be sorely missed. Our number one for today is Doom Patrol on DC's Young Animal. And our over-under is foods that physically make you feel gross. So strap in for that. It should be interesting. What else do we got here? We have this little website called ReviewAndRoast.com where we review movies, TV shows, comic books, regular books, board games, video games, anything that the three of us that do it can get our hands on. So go check it out. You can buy movie tickets there and all that good stuff. And you can check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/ReviewAndRoast. Boom. Other than that, let's start this show. My week has been filled with television and books, a little bit of video games, but I finished two short Amazon Prime season show deals, and I finished the book that I was reading, so I'll get to those later. Well, the shows I can get to now, I guess. Last week, actually, Brian and I both started One Mississippi. I don't know if he ever finished it.
Finished it two nights ago.
Boom. So there will be a review of that soon, if it's not up already. I'm not sure which one of us will do it. But it basically follows the comedian, what's her name, Tig?
Tig Notaro.
Tig Notaro follows her around a kind of a dark comedy type of story.
I would say it's just a dark...
dark show.
Show.
In general, yeah.
It's barely funny.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's actually really a pretty thing.
Yeah.
It's got some funny moments.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a comedy overall, but there's definitely some comedic moments. But yeah, overall, it's pretty dark in a good way. Very interesting. Especially if it's six half-hour episodes. I mean, you can watch it in one sitting, like we almost did. Just saying. Also, I know that Brian wanted to watch it. I did start it. I only have an episode left, so by the time this comes out on Monday, I will be done and probably reviewed it. It's Fleabag, also on Prime Original, 6 episodes. That one, not ha-ha funny, but sometimes it's holy shit, that was hilarious. You know what I mean? It's like, sometimes it's just a little kind of silly, and other times it's like, did they really just say and or do that? So, I'm kind of liking it. We'll see. I got 2 episodes left. But stay tuned for that.
Everyone is waiting for with bated breath to know how you feel about Fleabag.
I'm pretty sure they are. That's some other seriously dark comedy stuff there.
See, that one just struck me more like catastrophe as opposed... because One Mississippi, I didn't realize how dark and uncomfortable that show can get.
Well, I don't recall the main character's name off the top of my head for Fleabag, but the whole show's premise... is she's trying to run a struggling coffee shop she opened with her friend, and her friend committed suicide.
Okay.
So it's all like, I've got no money, I can't run the store. There's like some scenes, though, that are just really like drawn out almost in a Family Guy type of way where it's like, all right, this is going on way too long, but the more it goes on, like the harder I'm laughing. So, but overall, it still is a pretty good show. So, yeah, look out for those reviews to be up shortly. Brian's nodding.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. that's what I did this week, was I watched the rest of One Mississippi and, I don't know, worked.
Whoa.
Because work is awesome.
Slow down.
That was pretty much my week so far.
Yeah, I agree.
It was one of those things, like... I think I went into that show thinking it was going to be super funny because I'm like, oh, Diablo Cody plus Louis C.K. plus Tig Notaro equals comedy gold. So when we started watching it, I'm like, I mean, this is really well written, but it's not funny. It's actually kind of making me want to cry. It's like sad every 5 seconds, like something gets talked about that's super weird and uncomfortable, or like the show's just so brutally honest, and it's pretty fairly well based off of her actual life, so... just to sit there and think, like, holy crap, all this happened to her, and she's just throwing it all on the screen like this? It was just unexpected. But, like, as you go, you're like, man, this show is so good. I could watch this for, like, 20 seasons.
I'll check that out. That sounds good.
Yeah, if you like,
I don't have Prime, but I'll probably get it at some point. Given.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming you're familiar with Tig Notaro, yeah.
I am. Yeah, she's great.
Did you ever see the documentary on Netflix?
No, I didn't.
She talks at length about all the stuff that's happened to her, with her mother passing away and her bouts with breast cancer and other disease and various family and relationship stuff and growing up stuff. And when all this was on the show, I'm like, man, she's like really just throwing it all. She just throws it all out there and, like, you know, she's dealing with it in front of an audience, which is super brave and kind of like unexpected. It was like kind of hard to swallow at the beginning because I think I was just expecting like another Louis.
Right.
Where it was going to be like, oh, she, you know, yells at somebody at the bus stop and now she's in a fist fight and now she's for some reason she's taking the train to their house to apologize and it's going to be really, you know, weird like that. But no, it was totally way darker. But I don't know how you feel about Diablo Cody. Like, I wasn't a huge Juno fan because I thought it was just filled with too much honest to blog type lingo, which I thought was super annoying. But did you watch United States of Terror?
I did, yeah. I enjoyed that.
Okay, yeah. Like, that was the show that sold me on Diablo Cody as a writer. Like, like I said, Juno, I was like, this is just, like, you know, text message talk, and it's annoying. I don't like this movie that much. But when I watched the show, I totally changed my mind, and I'm like, she's amazing. Oh, my God. She should write she should rewrite the Constitution. That's how good she is. So when I saw that she was involved, I was like, oh, sold. Done. She's amazing. So, and she's kind of amazing at this show as well. So,
okay, cool. I'll check that out. I was kind of bummed that United States of Terror didn't get to really actually end. So,
yeah, I was actually pretty disappointed. I thought that show was going to be a surefire hit because it also did the same thing. It covered a lot of uncomfortable territory, but it did it in a interesting, sort of lighthearted way at times, and you know, it was actually funny at times as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that. Because usually it's like the conventional show idea when it goes into those serious topics. Like, oh, the wife is trying to rebuild her life after the husband cheated on her with the secretary. It's like, oh, wow, that's horrible, I guess. I mean, it is, but not quite as bad as it can be. I don't know. Maybe it's just because you've seen so much of that, or I've seen so much of that. Because, you know, I watch a lot of that stuff. I'm a big Lifetime guy.
Good.
So I saw that your band had a little mishap this weekend.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So my turn. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, Shane super broke his arm.
I like how you started that story off with, yeah, that was cool. This dude totally broke his arm. Yeah, like, I know what happened, but I don't exactly know the particulars behind it.
Well, I mean, if anyone's ever seen us before, they'll know that Shane is quite energetic on stage. Always has been. Maybe not always will be after this. But he's just a maniac. Like, he's constantly, like, jumping into the audience and attacking people. And I mean, we played a show with Burnt by the Sun and Mastodon and fucking, I don't know, a few other Anodyne and stuff, these bands in Philly. And I remember we were, like, the second or third band of the night, and he immediately broke this guy's nose, this, like, giant guy's nose, like, the first couple seconds of our set, and then screwed up some other guy's knee, like, pretty bad. And when the show was over, they both came over to, like, just beat the tar out of him. And for some reason, Shane is one of these guys that can just fucking make someone love him in seconds. And the guy was just, like, afterwards, they were, like, hugging, and everything was fine. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? But he's just a fucking maniac. I mean, we've taken him to the hospital a couple times after shows. I hit him in the face once with the guitar, and his head just wouldn't stop bleeding in Belgium. He was just bleeding out all over the floor. And he's just fine with it. He's like, oh, whatever. You know, it's just part of the show. This time, he fell hard off the stage. And, I mean, he's fallen off the stage before, but I'm used to him falling, so I wasn't even paying attention. Like, I just kept playing and just doing our thing. And he was kind of trying to struggle to keep, you know, playing as well. But when he fell off the stage, like, I was looking into the crowd, because that's what you do, and I saw everyone kind of go like, oh my God, like, put their hands up to their mouth. And I was like, oh, he must have fallen pretty hard. But, you know, in my mind, I was like, he does that all the time. Who cares? And it came to a point in the song, if it happened right before a point in the song where it's just sort of guitar for a minute, But the drummer gets up from behind his drum set. He's still like kind of lightly hitting the cymbals, like as if to keep it going, just in case maybe things are okay. But he whispers in my ear, kind of yells in my ear because we're loud. He goes, "I think Shane broke his arm. I think we need to stop." And I look over, and it looked like our friend Yosua, this dude, has got Shane's arm, and it looks like they're about to try to like pull his arm back into socket or something. And I'm like, "What are you guys doing?" And then apparently Yosua had like held onto his forearm and was like, "Oh, dude, that feels like a bag of pretzels. You got to go to the doctor." Like, it was just crunching bone. And, oh, yeah, dude. Sure enough, he just snapped his humerus bone right in half.
Not so humorous.
Not so humorous. Yeah, if you go to the Great Falls Instagram, there's pictures of it, of the x-ray.
Oh, and I was going to say, x-ray I can deal with. Actual broken stuff, I'm not too good with.
Yeah, no. The x-ray at least takes it out of reality enough that you're just like, whoa, right. That's something else. But, I mean... Apparently, two people passed out when they saw him lift his arm at one point.
Wow.
Like, it bent it like its brand new elbow, you know? Like, in a way it shouldn't have bent. And people were just like, one dude passed out, and another guy was like, "I gotta get out of here," and just like ran out the door.
Because I was just gonna. We watch a lot of those stupid fail videos sometimes when there's like. You know, we're like, "Oh, we got a half hour before we got to go do this," or, you know, "Someone's going to be here in 15 minutes. No point in putting anything on." And we watched one last weekend where these two guys, it looked like they were in, like, I don't know, India maybe, or somewhere in the Middle East. These two guys are arm wrestling, and one guy just snaps the other guy's arm in half. I was like, "Oh, my God." I didn't expect.
I'm surprised you haven't learned by now. Like, as soon as I see something on the screen, it looks like it's going to turn into something broken. Like, I don't even look.
Yeah, we watched the whole compilation of teenagers, like, racking themselves on purpose, and I was fine with that for some reason. Like, oh, here comes a guy, he's got his guy at the bottom of the slide, his legs are spread open, and someone's throwing a bowling ball down the slide. This is gonna be awesome. Totally fine. Guy's about to arm wrestle. I'm like, oh, this, what's gonna, oh my God. So yeah, just hearing you describe it, I'm repicturing that.
It's a huge bummer.
Yeah, I just remember when I saw it, I was just like, oh, that's not good. I've never heard of that happening in a show, I guess, but if you fall off the stage, is that how it happened?
Well, he'd fallen off. I mean, he jumped off the stage a couple times already in that show, so again, it didn't seem weird that he fell. But the stage, they had put like a new speaker. Like, you know how sometimes a lot of stages will have like kind of like the sub kicker speaker, like at the front of the stage.
Yeah.
Well, they had done that, and they put this at the front of the stage, but they didn't put it, like, in the stage. It kind of, like, sat in front of the stage a little bit, so it was, like, another platform, which is what the speaker monitor sat on. It wasn't huge or anything, but it also is about 3 or 4 inches taller than the rest of the stage, and I think he actually tripped over that when he was kind of, you know, rocking out or whatever. So,
whoops.
Yeah, that was the big event. So it's put some band stuff on hold till we have a show with Bastard Noise, in December, so hopefully we'll be able to play that. But his arm is pretty messed up, and he's pretty bummed about it. He's like kind of bummed that we had some momentum going at the writing, and now he's not able to play his bass for 2 months. So I'm Saturday night, I'm going over to his house and bring my guitar and pedals, and we're gonna plug into his laptop, and we're just gonna write parts, try to, like, you know, keep it going.
Right on.
Because we're trying to finish the record.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, that was the big event this week. Did that, bought some books, and my car broke down, so that's all the excitement in my life.
I didn't know you got a new car.
Yeah, I thought you sold
it. It's the old car. No, I never sold it. I never got around to doing it. It's working fine now. So, but apparently there's a leak in the coolant system that I didn't know about that I now know about.
Nice.
From the car overheating.
That is not fun.
So, what books did you get, just out of curiosity?
Oh, I didn't get much because I went and bought the number one. And I only bought a few. I'm keeping up with Black Road. And you know, when we first started that, it was like a Mangus the Black Mystery. This is the first one that made me actually realize that it actually is a bit of a mystery. So,
oh, okay.
I remember kinda cool. Black Road,
the Viking one.
Yeah, Brian Wood.
Whoa, oh, wait, that was like 6 months ago.
It was a few months ago. Yeah, maybe like sometime in this mid to late spring, I would say.
If I recall correctly, I didn't really like it. I don't think I did. I'm intrigued now.
Maybe I'll be.
I.
Oh, maybe I'll get the trade.
because it's starting to come together now.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. I got Next Killer Be Killed, which I thought was good, and Black Monday Murders, which I also thought was quite good. And then I also got this new one on Black Mask, The Forevers.
I saw that.
I did not like it.
All right. There's $3.99 back in my pocket.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I read the back of it after I read it, and after reading the back, I was like, oh, that's what it's about? Like, I didn't get any of that from the story. Like, it's one of those things where I feel like the story's kind of trying to be a little oblique, but I didn't get any of it from there. And then the story is drawn, like, this has to be intentional, because every single character is clearly drawn from a reference, like photo reference. Like, at first I was just like, okay, well, that's like a weird drawing of Kate Moss. All right, like, I actually remember this picture of Kate Moss. Like, okay, that's, like, the dude from Lord of the Rings, I think. Like, okay, that's, like, a drawing of Alison Brie. You know, I'm just kind of, like, going, like, why are these, like... Okay, and then you get the end, it's like, okay, Idris Elba and Anthony Hopkins are talking. But it's not them. It's just drawn, but it's drawn from, like, I can picture where these pictures came from. And I'll be, okay, so part of me is, like, is this intentional? If it is, it's not the kind of satire that's making any sense of the story. And then, if it's not intentional, or I mean, if it's not supposed to be like noticed, then it's just like kind of bad art. I don't know. I just didn't really like the art. And then the cover I thought was really cool. Like, that's actually why I picked it up. I was like, oh, Black Mask. The cover looks awesome. Even though the cover, by the way, it's like a guy kind of holding his hand up. That hand is from the Bern Hogarth Dynamic Anatomy book, and I know because I ripped that off for a class project once. back in design school, so right off the bat, I saw that. I go, oh, okay, yeah, someone likes Bern Hogarth books. That's cool. And as I started going through this book, I go, oh my god, all of this art is just like sampled from, you know, TV shows I've seen and magazine layouts that I am familiar with. So I don't know. I was really uninterested when I read the back. After reading it, the idea of it's actually kind of neat, even though it's a little bit like a Simpsons episode. but I don't know. I was very, very much not into this book, so if you guys could check it out if you'd like, but I would maybe if you see the store open up and flip through the art, just tell me what you think. But I was not into it.
What was the name of this again?
The Forevers.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of comics, you want to just bring us right into the number one for the week?
Sure. Yeah, so number one this week was Doom Patrol, which is on DC's Young Animal, which we can talk about that in a minute, because I'm not totally clear what that is, by Gerard either. Way, Nick Darrington, and Tamara Bonvillain. Bonvillain? Really?
Bonvillain?
Okay. Like, not Bond, like, not like James Bonvillain.
No.
But Bonvillain, like, kinda like, I don't know. It's very strange. Anyway, yeah, so I thought this was actually going to be a reboot, like an entire reboot of Doom Patrol, but it seems to be a bit more of a continuation. To me, Doom Patrol has always just been super weird and kind of fun and really bizarre, and I would say this is also all of that. Super weird. I don't fully understand what's happening in this at all, and I kind of wish someone had told me that Gerard Way was the singer of My Chemical Romance, by the way. Because once I found that out, after I bought the book, the guy at the comic store was like, yeah, you know, he's trying to bring in kind of that punk rock thing. I was like, oh, why is that? He was like, oh, he's the singer of My Chemical Romance. I go, well, then why would you say punk rock? Like, Light Band is abysmal. Like, how can I trust the judgment of this guy as a writer if after band practice, he was like, yeah, that song sounded great. Like, no, it didn't. That was horrible. Well, don't worry, guys. I'll embarrass myself even more over the music. It'll be fun. So anyway, I don't know if you can
tell.
I
need to listen to them. I feel like I need to listen to them. Like, if they were on right now, I know they exist, and that's the extent of it. Like, I think I need to listen to them now just to hear the terrible.
What are those stores called? Have you been to a Hot Topic before?
Unfortunately, yeah, I have.
Yeah, they sound like that. Although I'm pretty sure my wife made out with that dude once, so which that doesn't bother me. I actually think that's kind of cool.
Before you met him?
Yeah, before, but I mean, okay. After would be fine, too. I don't care. I don't have a lot of morals about that. But I don't know, man. I thought it was kind of neat. Like I said, I did not keep up with Doom Patrol after Grant Morrison left. But right when I knew that Doom Patrol was going to be, when they were rebooting it, my first thought was like, oh, I hope Danny the Street's in it. And Danny the Street is totally in it in a weird roundabout way. And there's a lot of references to Danny the Brick, if you know about that. So I don't know. Even though I'm not a big fan of this guy and his past work as a musician, this I thought was actually kind of interesting. I don't know. And I really thought the cover was cool. I hadn't seen that before, although I did not. If anyone's seen the actual cover, it's like the Velvet Underground record where you could like peel away a decal on the cover.
I have that, I did not peel it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I saw it at the store. They had one up where they peeled so you could see what it was if you didn't want to do it yourself, which I thought was cool.
What is it?
It's like the universe. It just looks like you pull back the euro, the little sticker of the euro, and it looks like the universe underneath.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's neat. That was cool. It's inventive and interesting. I don't know. Art seemed to be, you know, right in line with the old Doom Patrol. Kind of zany. Kind of shifts tone a few times. And again, I don't really feel like I know enough of what's happening here to be a strong judge of the writing. Although there was something that happens right in the middle of the book with the happy birthday dance that made me actually laugh out loud. So I was like, all right, well, maybe this is pretty good.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like I didn't expect it at all.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'm not blown away. Some of that might be my problems with his band. So I'm not gonna lie. I may have in the act of discovering who he was, I may have biased myself greatly. But I was strangely, I was a little more surprised than I thought I'd be. Like in a positive way. Like I was surprised that I enjoyed it. I didn't think I would.
I was kind of not confused, but I was kind of unsure myself because I only have a small bit of prior experience with Doom Patrol. I bought like some random single issues a long time ago, and it was, I don't think it was Grant Morrison. I think it was maybe after him. And I remember
Rachel something. I think took it. I can't remember her name, but
I don't know. I just remember reading it going, wait a minute, I thought this was supposed to be a Vertigo book. I'm like, this feels just like a goofy cartoon superhero team to me. I'm like, this doesn't feel like what I was expecting. So I remember I read the like six issues that I grabbed, and then I think I got rid of them pretty quickly afterwards. But I've always heard about Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, and I know from reading interviews with Gerard Way that he pretty much said that Grant Morrison is his favorite writer in the world and his like absolute hero. So seeing that he said the reason why he got into comics was because of him. And I know he wrote that book for Dark Horse, The Umbrella Academy, and I've never read it, but I've read a million things about how like critics just were gaga over it. And then he also did another one called like The Fabulous Lives of the Killjoys, which I think was based off their last album, so I don't think that one was quite as well received. But from what I read in the back, I guess this Young Animal thing is they offered him an imprint, and he initially asked about pitching a Doom Patrol story, and they were at like, yeah, we don't really know if we want to do a Doom Patrol story on Vertigo or DC anymore. And I guess they expressed interest in having him come work for DC, and that's how this whole imprint thing started. And I guess he wants to kind of recapture the early 90s vibe of Vertigo with this imprint, I guess. And that's why he's taking characters from the DC library and that are like super obscure and trying to like make them weird and interesting for an adult audience.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I mean, I think that Shade the Changing Girl sounds cool. I love the name Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye.
Oh my
eye.
God,
it's ridiculous.
I am so excited for that book. I don't even know what it's about. I just, the title, I was like, sold. I don't care what it's about. It'd be about a guy who works at a convenience store, and I'm in.
Yeah, and Mother Panic. I think it all sounds really cool. So I begrudgingly am, you know, looking forward to more of this guy's work.
Yeah, I had to look at that Cave Carson for a few minutes because it really looked like the guy on the previous page, Niles Calder, the redhead with the beard, and then you flip it over and see the redhead with a beard. I'm like, dude, is this like an ad or is this like part of the story?
I feel like this is like weird 70s Saturday morning cartoons on acid or something.
Well, there's, after I finished it, I couldn't decide if it made no sense and I should give it like a 3, or if it was just awesome and I should give it like an 8. You know what I mean? But I know there were some things that I really, really liked. And I think overall, I think I can kind of piece it all together in a weird kind of way. Some things still don't make any sense, but I have to say, the Giro universe was awesome. And it took me a second to, like, didn't know what the hell was going on until they went back and the garbage can exploded, and I was like, all right.
That was great. The alien board meeting was my favorite thing in the entire world.
I know. It was... This thing is ridiculous. Like, I've read some weird stuff in my day, and this is by far takes the cake.
I think I remember I told you to. You may have actually bought it, but Grant Morrison's book, The Filth.
It's I have it.
This reminded me like a slightly more sensible version of that without all the weird porno stuff.
Well, like he said, you know, okay, you got the alien board meeting, the singing telegram, the Giro City, these two weirdos driving an ambulance, like. None of it makes any sense, but it kind of makes sense in a weird way. I don't know.
I feel like I got out of this what I didn't get out of the ones that I bought like 6 years ago, which now has me like really curious to read Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol stuff.
And I really have no idea what's going on with this robot man, but that's interesting to me too.
Yeah, I would go back and read the Grant Morrison stuff because this references a lot of that stuff. I mean, the whole Danny Burgers and the guy looking like picking up bricks and yelling for Danny. I mean, that would probably didn't make any sense to you at all, right?
Not in the slightest.
Yeah, so Danny the Street is a character Grant Morrison made up, who's a sentient street, like with like shops and stuff on it. And he's that's all he is. Like, he doesn't talk or anything or do stuff.
Then how do they know he's a real character?
He's kind of magical, and he teleports from place to place, so he ends up in cities when you need him. It's a very strange character. He ended up getting destroyed and turned into a brick, and that's why that guy is going through those bricks yelling for Danny. He's actually for Danny, trying to find Danny the Street, who's now Danny the Brick.
I don't think you need to sell me anymore, but I mean, thoroughly intrigued. But yeah, I feel like if I read anymore, I might lose my mind myself.
Yeah, so it's super weird. But I think this is a good, like, kind of, I don't know, like, kind of, not rebooting, obviously, but sort of a kind of reinvigorating of those Grant Morrison things. But yeah, you can just go on Wikipedia, look up Danny the Street, and that'll give you a pretty good backstory about what's going on in this comic.
I might have to do that.
In fact, I think the very last page, the brick that has I'm sorry on it, I think that's Danny the Brick.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, I'm sorry. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that is.
That's Danny being sorry for maybe braining this person. I don't know.
I just knew I loved it. And, yeah, because there was an article when this all was being first announced. I think I want to say it was at San Diego, maybe. But there was an article saying about the history of... I think it was on Blaster, about the history of Doom Patrol and... the reasons why it may not have been successful most of the time is because I guess the Doom Patrol has been around since like the 60s, but they just were like sitting around and like, we need another superhero team. We've got the Justice League. We've got the Legion of Superheroes. We need something else. And then they came up with they just randomly created these wacky characters and they're like, the Doom Patrol, there you go. And like, nobody was into it. And then I guess they went away for a while and they tried it again in the 70s and it still failed. And it went away again. They tried again in the early 80s, I guess. And again, nothing. And they were just like, well, I guess nobody's ever going to find anything good about this. So let's just scrap it. And then Grant Morrison came around and said, you know, give me a shot. And his became fairly well received. But I guess ever since then, they've tried one or two times to bring it back to the 60s idea of them being like a superhero team from the future. And like, nobody cared. So this, I guess, was their way of saying, like, the only way this works is if you just let it be as weird as it can.
Yeah, the weird thing works out great. And the name is so cool. If it comes from, like, a weird direction, if you're coming from, like, a serious, gritty superhero thing, the name Doom Patrol's kind of silly. But I think if you turn that on its head a little bit, I think it's actually a really awesome name.
Oh, I agree. I think it's, yeah, and I like the fact that, like, for those who are completely uninitiated, like, I'm probably about 98% uninitiated, but I had a little bit of background reference. You see the comic with a white cover and a Euro, and it just says Doom Patrol. Like, you really have no fucking idea what you're about to look at at all. And again, like, all these references that you're aware of, like, I'm like, what? A talking brick or whatever the fuck? But I was just, I remember I read it, I'm like, I really need to read Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol now.
Yeah, it's really out there. It is like reading drugs.
That's how I felt reading The Invisibles. That's how I felt reading The Filth. That's even how I felt reading some of his Batman stuff. I was like, what? The Joker's a devil worshiper and he lives under the river? I'm like, all right.
Yeah, Grant Morrison has a lot of fun.
Oh, he's a
trip to hang out with.
My favorite story from that documentary was Warren Ellis said he went, I guess he was just in the area, and he stopped by Grant Morrison's apartment, like, to see if he wanted to go down to the pub and have a beer. And he's like, he got up to the apartment, and he just said the door opened really slowly, and there was really loud music playing, and Grant Morrison was just standing there in this cloud of smoke and just a robe. And he's like, oh, I could tell he was super high. And he's like, hey, mate, you want to go down for a drink? He's like, I can't, man. I'm in the zone. And then he just closed the door super slow. And Warren Ellis is like, yeah, that's kind of sometimes what happens when you go to Grant's house. I was like, I got to go to that guy's house.
That
sounds awesome. Yep. So, who wants to start the numbers?
Well, I picked it, so I'll start. I'm going to give it an 8. Like I said, I wasn't, like, totally blown away, but I was surprised how much I enjoyed it.
I'm actually going to give it an 8.5 because all the stuff I didn't get, now I'm like, I need to find out what that is. So I just was, like, reading it going, I think I love this. I'm not 100% sure if I do.
Okay.
But I'm, like, 96% sure.
I'm actually right there as well, giving it an 8, but I do want to asterisk this and be like, and just let everyone know that this is probably not going to make sense. And unless you're into some really weird stuff, you're probably not going to be into it. But if you like stuff that just leaves you scratching your head when you're done in an awesome way, yeah, I totally would say you should get it. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like Andy Warhol wrote a superhero comic. Like, it's really fucking bonkers.
Yeah, especially when the aliens start talking about meat and free meat. And it's whatever. It's super weird. Yep. And
I don't know what message it is, and I don't know what kind of meat it is, but I'm into it.
Right? I want a Danny Burger or whatever the hell it's called.
I'm into this message meat.
That's gross. Moving on to the over-under for the week. This is going to be a weird one, but foods that make you feel physically gross. This one, I know I have talked about the food here in Chicago a lot. And I know I say the pizza here is the best, because it truly is. But, having said that, overrated is fast food pizza. I'm not going to name specific chains by name, but there's one really close to the house here that everyone seems to love to go to. And I just feel like every time we go there, I don't know if it's because maybe I ate one too many slices, or if it's just like, my God, why do we keep going back here? I feel totally blobular at the moment. So I personally haven't gone there in a while, but everyone still keeps piling in with slices from this place all the time.
They're so good. Yeah,
fast food pizza, we need to stop. Because like, you're going to call them up and it's going to take them 20 minutes for you to go pick it up. Or you can call a real place and wait 20 minutes and go pick it up for like $2 more. Why does anybody go to fast food pizza?
Because Jets is good.
Nope.
Yeah, mine.
I assumed you were talking about like Pizza Hut or something.
Well, actually, I don't even think we have that around here anymore. I don't even. There might.
I think there's one.
There's a fast food one by my work, but that's like a 45 minute drive. You know what I mean? But like around here, it's the Little Caesars or Jets or.
Yeah, we don't have Jets out here, but.
Oh, Jets is so good. I mean, it's terrible, but it's actually awesome.
And our Pizza Hut is. I shouldn't say pizza, I'm sorry. Our Little Caesars is one of those like hot and ready places, and it's like you walk in, you can get a whole pizza and walk out the door in 5 minutes, and every time I've gone there, I stand there for like 45 fucking minutes. It's like, dude, it's supposed to be hot and ready. This is like hot and what are you, stirring dough back there? Like, come on. But like, whatever.
I was going to be disappointed regardless of how this went down. But now somehow I've even gone worse.
Exactly.
Oh man, yeah, Little Caesars, that is some rough, that is some rough shit.
Yeah, but Crazy Bread is absolutely amazing. Can't deny it.
Mike Ilitch is a billionaire for the reason we are speaking of.
I don't know That's who true. That is. So
he's the owner of Little Caesars, the owner of the Detroit Red Wings, the owner of the Detroit Tigers, and the owner of some of the worst hair this side of Donald Trump.
Well, then he's doing a terrible job with Little Caesars because there used to be one on every corner around here, and now there's one. After there was none for like 5 years.
No, there's a bunch actually when you get into the city. There's probably about 40 in the area now.
Either way.
It feels like they've moved into food court, like kind of that sort of world.
Yeah. That's like, how they like can do their...
They're on corporate areas and stuff.
That's how they can do their hot and ready.
Yeah, exactly. They had that, like, they had all those commercials in the 90s, those pizza commercials.
I loved them.
That I seem to remember being real funny. Like, I kind of had that, like, jack-in-the-box thing where, like, you know, the food is abysmal, but the commercials are so funny that kind of, like, they stayed alive in your mind, sort of.
Oh, they were competing with the stupid Domino's Noid guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's back, by the way.
You know, no, he's not. Wow.
You hear about that guy, how the Noid inspired someone to go kill people?
Really? No.
That's why he's not... You should look it up. It's on the Wikipedia page.
Writing that down right
now.
Some
guy who's, like, already crazy. I think his last name was Noid or something like that, or, like... I think his last name was like the Noid.
Tell me he
like
dressed, like, dressed in a red jumpsuit.
I don't think so, but I think he did go into a fucking Domino's or someplace and like started shooting up the place because he thought the commercials were about him. Yeah, it's pretty nuts. I don't know if he actually killed anyone, but I think he tried. So
I'll have a full report next week. Don't worry.
All right.
Yeah, mine is the entire McDonald's menu. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I do go there like 3 times a year now.
Whoa.
But pretty much 10 minutes afterwards, I'm like, oh, that was a mistake. Ah, and it wasn't even that good.
Nope.
But then, like, I don't go for like 6 months, and I'm like, oh, you know what I have a taste for? McDonald's. And every single time I regret it. I'm like, even the soda tastes weird. Why am I going to McDonald's? Oh, that's right, because it's right around the corner from the office. That's why.
They have, like, the saltiest soda in the world.
Yeah. And I always get it with no ice, because I'm like, oh, this is the best way to drink soda. It's already cold, and then I'm like,
it's not cold.
Yeah. You need that ice to dilute it.
To get rid of all the salt.
Yeah. It's true, man. I go there, I'll honestly, probably, like, once or twice a month, and I always feel bad about it. Always feel bad. I never, ever walk away. There's never a McDonald's experience I've ever had, I think, in my life, even as a child, where I was like, that was great. Like, that's never occurred. It's always, this is like if you constantly touched a burner and burned your hand, and then you just, like, went and did it again a couple weeks later. You're like, well, time to touch the burner again. Like, no, it's not time to touch the burner. Why do I keep doing this?
The thing is, like, when we were kids, they used to, I don't know if they did it everywhere. I'm assuming they did. They used to sell those $5 worth of coupon books. They were like $5 in McDonald's bucks. But back in like 1983, that $5 used to go an amazingly long way for some reason. We would get those, and I would be like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with all this money. I can eat McDonald's for months. Which, you know, I lasted one trip. But like getting a Big Mac was like the pinnacle of eating for some stupid reason. And then we went vegetarian and vegan and no more McDonald's for like a decade. And then when we started eating meat again, I tasted a Big Mac, and like the first time was like, and ever since then, I'm like eating Big Macs and just hating myself while I'm doing it. I'm like, why do I keep doing this? I'm going to go again tomorrow. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think I have plenty of fond memories of McDonald's as a kid. And a lot of it was based around Happy Meals and those fucking weird playgrounds with that Mary McCheese you could climb in his mouth and. You know, but back then I also feel like the buns didn't taste like, you know, when you found out that like all these companies like Subway and McDonald's stuff were using that chemical they put in wrestling mats for their buns. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Because everyone's taking it out now.
Yeah. But when I heard about that, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense because that's what the buns at McDonald's now taste like. I go, occasionally, this is probably the grossest thing on the menu, but I'll get a fillet of fish because I'm just like, I love those things. Maybe I'm secretly Catholic or something, but I just love those things. And... But the bun is the weirdest thing. It really does taste like completely fake. Like there's no bread has ever been that texture in that. Well, it's not much of a flavor. I mean, it's just a tartar sauce barrier.
No, actually, do you remember like 2 years ago when they advertised that the new filet of fish was wild caught and not farm raised?
No, but I tend to filter out lies.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like the whole argument is that wild caught tends to have a much lower rate of mercury. So I was just like, oh, sweet. I'm going to go try one of these amazing new wild-caught fish sandwiches. And I bit into it, and I'm like, this is the exact same fish sandwich. And for like a second, I was angry. And then I took another bite, and I'm like, nope, I'm good. And then like 10 minutes later, I'm like, oh, God, I feel horrible. And I got like an hour to go before I'm home. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I could feel like my entire torso area flaring up, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Never Man, again.
The crows I feed, they'll eat anything. They will not eat McDonald's fries. So
I have seen birds like stick their face in like a Burger King bag and then like just pull it out and walk away. And I'm like, there was something in there and they didn't want it. So that says some things.
Yeah. But I mean, animals also avoid smoke and humans just pull it into their body. So
it's true.
I mean, we're not the brightest creature.
New, by any means.
Well, I was going to say, too, the consistency of your intestines was much more, much less toxic when you're six. So maybe that's why that's McDonald's true. Was amazing. That's
well, true. Plus you only went like once every 4 months because it was a special treat when we were kids. Unlike nowadays where that's all parents feed their kids is, oh, we're going to McDonald's again. Oh, we Mama go. Doesn't like to cook.
Here we go.
Yep.
Just saying.
If your kid doesn't hate you at the end of the night, you feel like you've succeeded as a parent. Like, it's pretty sad.
I mean, the simple fact that a few years back, a teenage girl died because she refused to eat anything but chicken nuggets, and eventually it killed her. Yeah, you're a shitty parent. Sorry.
Yeah, it's apparently quite literally poison.
Right, yeah.
Well, I feel like mine is going to be real low impact here. But mine's something I actually really like, but I feel awful and I decided I just can't eat them anymore, and it's garlic knots. I love those things.
Oh yeah.
But they're just bread. I mean, and I don't need any more bread in my life. So every time I think I'm telling myself they're overrated more than I think they are. Because there's this place in Brooklyn, which I don't go back to Brooklyn very often anymore, so it's not like it's much of an issue. But they have these garlic knots that I'm just are the best thing in the world. They're like the perfect amount of salt and garlic and oil, and they're just the right size and the right consistency. And there's something about them. There's something in the bread that almost you almost feel like you're getting hydrated when you eat it. It's just magical. But then once. I walk down the street and, you know, I'm in New York City. I'm like, I walk everywhere. This is awesome. And I'm like walking towards a bar where I'm going to sit out all night and drink. I think about the fact that that bag I had in my hand was like a few pounds. And now that's just a few pounds of bread that's just in my belly. And when you're going to a bar, that's good insulation. But when you're trying not to be a gross person, which I'm slowly trying not to do, it's a terrible idea. And you feel awful. And so As part of an intervention with myself, I'm telling myself that garlic knots are overrated and I need to stay away from them.
See, I've never had garlic knots that I can recall. So now I'm like, okay, first things first, book a trip to Brooklyn. Second, find these garlic knots.
Well, it's on. It's in Carroll Gardens, if you want to know. I think it's on Smith Street, or at least it's up right by the Smith and Court station there on the F train. So I'll just hop out there and pick a direction and someone will tell you where it is.
All right. This is going to happen.
Right. Yeah, I think it's like the third stop from Manhattan if you take the F train.
I don't know. This whole over or under for me this week was kind of a tough one because like I could literally eat the table we're sitting at right now and it's not going to bother me. I'm just one of them lucky few people that can eat whatever the hell I want and it does not affect me. But
this isn't necessarily about how it affects you. It's more like how gross you feel when you're
doing. Right. And this is going to sound weird, but you got to hear me out, okay? Underrated. I'm going to broad stroke it and then, you know, narrow it down a little bit, but fresh fruit, okay? Now, I'll narrow that down a little bit with an example. Say Scott goes to the store, he does a little grocery shopping, he buys a tub of blueberries. Scott starts eating the blueberries, and he's like, these are amazing. They're so snappy and perfect. And Scott eats a tub of blueberries, and he's like, holy shit, that was a terrible idea. Has anyone ever eaten too much fruit?
Eaten?
It was my accent.
I know exactly what you mean. I actually, it's not exactly fruit, but I ate so many Brussels sprouts the other night that I thought I was going to vomit.
Similar thing.
And
you
they're
know,
super
fresh
good
fruits,
for me.
Fresh vegetables. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
I was like, oh, these are so good. I better eat all of them because there's no way I'm going to eat them tomorrow. And then it's like, no, just throw them away, dummy.
Right. But then you're just like, holy shit, that was a terrible idea. But I mean, it was fresh fruit or fresh vegetables. So I mean, it's
see, here's
good
the,
for you.
Like, I feel like pistachios are labeled as good for you or like heart healthy. And I know for a solid fact, especially if they are the black pepper or sweet chili lime ones, I will eat a 1 pound bag of pistachios without blinking. And I will not feel bad about it, and I will not feel gross afterwards. I will probably weigh like 10 pounds more for some reason, even though it's only a 1 pound bag. But I will feel amazing.
Maybe you're not aware, but pistachios are not a fruit.
No, they're not. But I'm just saying, it's still food. I'm just saying food in large quantity generally would make most people feel like...
Well, you figure lots of... Well, vegetables, it's just gonna you're going to get a lot of fiber. Fruits, fiber, and sugar can't be a good mix when it's a ton. But it's so delicious on the way in. You just can't move for a while after the fact.
True. All right, my underrated would be the Big Baby. More specifically, the Triple Big Baby.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. I don't know if it's just a South Side of Chicago thing or if it's a Chicago thing or if it's a thing outside Chicago that I'm unaware of. But there are these like...
Grease pits.
Yeah, they're like not really fast food because they make it to order, but they're like fast food restaurants. They're all over the city. And they all seem to be owned by like Greek families. It's just your standard hot dogs, hamburgers, gyros, pizza puffs, tamales, etc. But a lot of them have what's called the Big Baby, which is just, it's literally like a double or in this case, a triple cheeseburger with like a mountain of grilled onions. And then ketchup and mustard. And for some reason, I mean, this was kind of like my transition away from McDonald's. When I started doing my paper out when I was 12, there was a place called Nicky's and another place around the corner called Nick Boy's, and they both sold the Big Baby. And I got my paper out money. I went to get food. I had the Big Baby with fries, and I was like, I am never eating McDonald's again. This is the greatest thing of all time. And again, when I stopped being vegan, stopped being vegetarian, I was like, we got to get a Big Baby. It's been like 20 years. And it was still as good as I remembered it being when I was 12. And I don't go that often, but like once a year. I go to Mickey's, I get a triple Big Baby, I thoroughly engorge myself, and then I lay on the couch and go, I'm going to die. But while it's going in, it's so good that it, like the I think I might be having a stroke feeling is sort of worth it.
It is kind of just a South Side of Chicago thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to say because there's a lot of cheeseburgers that I do like, but this one is particularly amazing. I have a friend who will sometimes get one posted on Facebook or Instagram, and I'm just like, oh my God, I should go get one of those. But I usually need like a good 12 hours to recover after I have one. So
yeah, plan your week around it.
You kind of got to pick your spots. You can't just go, or at least I just can't go.
You're not just going to go get that and then like go swimming immediately afterwards.
Swimming in some grease, maybe.
I'm just going to swim and just sink to the bottom of the shallow end and just lay there like a, I don't even know, like an old sloth. Like a dead octopus or something.
That's awesome. Well, mine probably makes you equally feel kind of awful, but kind of great, because mine is, we have a restaurant out here, like a little chain of taco restaurants called Taco Time. It's not great, but they have this thing on their menu, and it's essentially just super greasy tater tots. They call them Mexi fries, which kind of I think reads a little racist, but they're called Mexi fries, and they are perfect hangover cure. Like, when you feel just horrible, you get one of those, and you feel great afterwards. But once the hangover cure part has happened, than the fact that you just ate like 20 little like exploding grease packets really starts to hit you, and then you're left with just this like second wave of regret. But
so what's the cure for that?
Just better decision making.
A cream cheese sriracha dog, maybe.
Oh, I don't know. I think like just like lettuce juice, if they make such
lettuce
a thing.
Lettuce juice, nice.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, they're great. They're delicious, but you, it's you know, it's like one of those like potato chip things where you can't just eat one. You got to eat like 20 of them,
right? Or a bag.
Each time you're like, no, stop.
You mean how I ate like half a bag of popcorn before I came here?
Yes, exactly.
Didn't mean to. Just kept going in my face. Oops.
I don't even know what's happening right now.
I'm like, this popcorn's not even that good. I mean, sea salt and black pepper should taste way better than this. Why do I keep putting it in my mouth? Where did this bag go? Well, I know where it is. I could find it if I was so inclined, but I'm not.
All right. So there you have over under for the week. If anyone's got anything they want to add to the list, feel free to tweet us and hashtag comic roast and hashtag over under. Boom, let's get that started. I know you're nice. Running short here, so do you want to do your best thing ever first, or do you want to wait through our stupid ones?
Well, I mean, I'll do it real quick just in case I got to go. Okay. My best thing ever is not that Shane broke his arm playing bass. it is not that, but that it happened in our hometown, 5 minutes from a hospital, surrounded by friends, playing a show with another band that practiced at the same practice space who had room in their vehicle for our equipment. Like, everything that happened with Shane breaking his arm was awful, but it couldn't have happened in a better... Like, the circumstances surrounding it could not have been better.
So like, it almost felt like it happened for a reason.
Well,
that's,
like,
that's a stretch.
Yeah. It does not feel like that, but it does feel like then it happened. It couldn't have been smoother. I mean, it's right downtown Seattle. We're never more than like 5 minutes from a hospital. There's his girlfriend was 3 blocks away. His friend was able to jump in his car and drive him there. The other band we played with, they practiced down the hall from us. They had enough room in their car for all our equipment, so Shane's car not being there wasn't a big deal. Like, you know, it could have easily happened in Nampa, Idaho.
Right, yeah.
You know, we took Shane to the hospital in Belgium when I hit him in the face with a guitar, and he had to get stitches in his head. And that was pretty bad. Like, I mean, you know, when you're in Europe, you can't walk home. I mean, there's just, like, anywhere in the United States, like, you could walk home if you had to. But this was, like... far away, but that worked out okay, but this could not have worked out better. Like, this was just perfect. Like, so, as horrible as the situation was, I was really glad that everyone there was super on top of it. Like, the people that ran the club, like, helped us load everything out. You know, it was cool. Like, everything around it was as good as it could have gone, but I certainly wish he hadn't broken it in the first place.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, at the top of the hour, nailed it. I had mentioned I did a lot of reading of book this week, and the book I was reading was Ready Player One, which I finished, which is sitting right there on the table because I'm going to do a review of it this weekend. But that's my best thing ever. Dude, that book, super, super fun, and I recommend it to everybody. Not only because it was a super fun book, but because it was picked up for a movie and Steven Spielberg is directing it as we speak. But basically... it's a book. The story takes place in the future, not like super far into the future, just maybe like 20, 30 years, whatever. And this one guy who was famous for creating one of the best MMOs, like a Warcraft kind of game, instead, with his next quote-unquote game, he created this thing called the Oasis, which basically you throw on your virtual reality headset, your gloves, and you walk around an entire universe this guy created. And it got to the point where people went to work in the Oasis, the school system was moved into the Oasis, your money, everything was moved into this virtual universe. And when the guy died, he had no one to leave his fortune to. So in the event of his death, he released this press release basically saying, like, okay, I've hidden 3 gates in the Oasis, and whoever can open the final gate and pass the puzzle gets my inheritance and gets control of the Oasis. So it's this kid, his name in the Oasis is Parsifal. His best friend is H, and then they're friends with this girl, Artemis. And these are all like their screen names. It's not their real names. They never met in real life, but they're trying to beat the corporation who's trying to get control of it. So it's really just kind of a cool concept, and a really kind of like the whole thing references the 80s because the guy who created it grew up in the 80s. So a lot of it has a ton of like 80s references to movies and video games and books. And the whole thing is just based around basically a futuristic MMO. So anyone who's into video games or the 80s, like, you're going to love this book, basically.
That sounds super cool.
It's really fun. Not going to lie.
Yeah, my best thing is the one Mississippi. I like didn't, after we finished the first couple episodes, I was like, yeah, I'll finish it. It's probably all right. But after I finished the whole thing, I kind of just fell in love with the show. And it reminded me of why I like Tig Notaro so much. And it reminded me again why I think Diablo Cody should write everything. So I was just like, yeah, I think I love this show. And I want them to do season two like next weekend. And then season three and four should come out by my birthday so I can have all four. And then they should do like a part one box set and should be like inside of like a mold of Tig Notaro's head.
Well, maybe I'll give in to my overlords and get Prime so I can see this because it sounds really good.
You know, actually, I'm not going to lie. I can add you to my family plan on there and you can just watch whatever you want for free.
We'll have to figure out some sort of trade for that.
Well, it costs me nothing. It's all Mike does it. But anywho, that's something we can discuss later.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's our show for the week. Don't forget to check out comicroast.com to listen to all of our past podcasts. And don't forget to check out reviewandroast.com to check out all of our reviews and stuff. And buy yourself some movie tickets because everybody wants to see The Magnificent Seven. I know I do. So, until that, have a good week.